In studio with us, head coach UNLV basketball, Marvin Menzies. All right, you're going into year three now. How much is just like a relief of things are normal now at a college basketball program compared to when you come in year one and it's all right, I've got to recruit an entire roster my first year here.
You know, I use the term, by the way, congratulations, man.
Thank you, Marvin.
On getting the position.
I'm glad you'd come down in studio for this.
That's why I came, because I got to help you in your inaugural show here. But I think that, you know, I somebody floated out there, I don't know who it was, that it was year zero. You know, and I that was a little catchphrase in my first year.
No, coaches year have to one. Love that term, year
well,
zero.
Well, you know what? You'd be surprised that how real that is. See, you guys don't know. You know, media doesn't understand. Fans don't understand. From the outside looking in, you only see what you could see. And I get that. But the truth of the matter was, it was year zero. I had two players in May, and I won't go through the whole resume or what it was, because I don't want to sit up here and tell, woe is me. But it is good now, and it's moving in the right direction. A lot has changed, bro. Back to your question, things are really, really, really good. And we got a young team, but I'm very, very optimistic about the talent, the character, the culture is totally different. And you know, things are bright. Things are looking forward. All the opportunities of potential success for the program are like right in front of us. And I feel like this team may be able to grab some of those this year, and I feel like it'll only get better with time.
As far as your rebuild and the timeline that maybe you had in your mind, like how has that process played out to be like, all right, this is where we want to be?
Before I got the job or after I got the job? Well, I would say now you know, once you establish the timeline, meaning you lay out your script. Okay, so I get here, I get boots on the ground, I'm living at the, you know, hotel and working out of my suitcase and understanding the lay of the land. Fast forward through the first year, I have a better understanding at the conclusion of that year. Then we go and we move the needle a little bit and, you know, make some noise, had some bumps in the roads, obviously. But after the completion of being in Las Vegas for 2 years, now I go, okay, this plan is real now. And by putting the guys that we put in place, I feel like from a staff standpoint is where it starts, and then from the players as well, I feel like we have some serious momentum from when I got here. We probably still need a little patience, to be honest with you, because we got six freshmen and 5 sophomores still on the team. You know, you want to get old as a team. You want to get old and you want to stay old, right? And that's the way that we're stacking. And you've heard me talk about it before, but that's the way we're stacking the classes and growing a culture, much like, you know, some of the more successful teams consistently in the NCAA.
So what is, I don't know how often this happens to you in person, but if you have fans that, you know, have higher expectations, or maybe not higher, but sooner expectations.
Right.
They want to see the rebuild happen.
Well, I do too.
In a year or two.
Right.
What is the selling point on give us that patience, wait with us, and it'll pay off in the end?
Well, we won 7 championships in 9 years at New Mexico State. So I think I know what I'm doing. I don't think anybody else in the country has done that outside of Bill Self. You know, they didn't hire, just because I followed some guys doesn't mean they didn't hire the right guy. It's just a matter of time. And so when I say to my fans or our fans or Rebel fans that, you know, you got to trust the process, well, then you got to look at who I am and where I've been and what I've done. And granted, it was at a different level, but I've also been at this level and higher as an assistant coach, so I know what it looks like as well. So how do you sell that? Well, You be true to what you say. You know, you say we're going to move the needle from year one to year two. We did. You say you're going to bring in high-character guys. You say you're going to get 3.0 GPAs, and academics is going to be an emphasis for the young men in my program. You say that we're going to get out in the community, and then we do it. So I can't preach those things at the press conference and then not follow through and expect people to believe in me and trust me. We've had 3 3.0s in 4 semesters. So, and I said that academics was going to be an emphasis. I said culture was going to be an emphasis. We've had no major social misconducts with any of the kids that we brought in. And the list goes on and on and on. So why wouldn't you believe is my question back to them.
How much do you hate the comparisons to Eric Musselman in Nevada?
I don't even hear them. It doesn't bother me at all, because I don't really, I could care less what's going on in Reno. I mean, I hate to say it like that because I don't. I mean, I'm not going to worry about what they're doing or how they're doing it or who they're bringing in or what they're ranked or whatever. Obviously, you hear things. You know, I knew about the recruits that they've signed and the transfer they have come in. But, you know, I think competition is good for business. I've always felt that way. I feel like, the better your competition is doing, especially your rivalry, the more, it should spark the competitive fires and instincts in you to kick in and do a better job. So, you know, God bless them. And then go kick their butts. I mean, that's what it's all about.
All right. This year's team, we got some new faces. The most recent signee is Jonathan Chamwashachua.
Right.
A guy that we, on the outside, don't know much about.
Right.
He played in the Global Academy in Australia. He's from Cameroon originally. So what's the Marvin, like, what do we need to know? What's your scouting report for us on Jonathan Chamwashachua?
Well, I didn't know much. I knew that I trusted his network of the people that I had relationships with, and I saw some film, obviously. But he basically comes to me via a lot of the relationships in that area of Africa, the Cameroon area, which is where I got Pascal Siakam from, who played for me in New Mexico State, who's currently with the Toronto Raptors. So I had a lot of intel on the ground in Africa that was able to give me some insight. So we pulled the trigger, recruited him hard, got him done, and he's a beast. I mean, he's a beast. He's still going through the transition, obviously, but physically, he's got an NBA body right now. Athletically, he's got NBA athleticism right now. But he didn't grow up like these kids in the U.S., you know, in gymnasiums with, you know, all of the resources that are available to these young men here domestically. So as a result, he's behind the curve from a skill development standpoint, but not far. He's actually the 2 years in Australia with the NBA Global Academy boded really well for him. He's especially with the character and his passion for basketball. He's very intelligent, and very in tune with getting better. He wants to get better. He lives in the gym, so he's got a lot of characteristics. Checks a lot of boxes for the guys that end up having a pretty good professional career. He will play for money. At what level and how much he'll make, I have no clue. But if he doesn't, then I'm screwing up because he's big time. And I think the fans are going to love him because he's a great human being. I sent out a text. I'll give you a quick example. So it's Saturday night. I sent out a text saying, hey, I got my former coach in town. He's running a youth league. If any of you guys are free Sunday to go by and hang out. We had 11 kids show up. And he's right there leading the way, And it's just is a testimony to the type of human beings we have with us. And he's fitting right in line with the culture. And like I said, loves getting into gym. So as a player, you're going to see a guy that really, really goes hard and is a freak athletically. But again, he's gonna get some things done just with his effort. But we'll see, how long it takes to develop in some of those other areas. But he's shooting it better now, and he's already seen improvement in a short amount of time.
You've got Chamwashachua coming. You've got Shekna Dembele and Baki Jung. As a coach, is there a developmental allure to getting guys that haven't been playing basketball their whole lives that you think you can unlock something or you can...
Well, you got to get what you can get, and you got to get the best you can get. And I don't care what part of the planet the kids come from. I just want guys that culturally fit what I'm selling, and I want guys that are able to take advantage of what we have to offer from a developmental standpoint. I feel like we're really, really good in the area of development. So I learned a lot from all the different coaches I've been with throughout the years, and I feel like that's one of the areas I kind of, I would say that I'm pretty good at. And so enable to fully reap the benefits of that, you got to bring in kids that are already have bought into really wanting to get better, and not for selfish reasons, but winning as a team, have some of those concepts already instilled in them because how they were raised. And I just happen to have a lot of relationships over there, and so I'm going to go there because I have those relationships. If I didn't have relationships, I wouldn't be trying to gain relationships in Africa at this stage in my career. But fortunately for me and for us, we do have those.
Two guys we know a lot more about, Trey Woodbury, Bryce Hamilton, in this class. You mentioned it a second ago with how many freshmen and sophomore you have. I guess, what's your comfort level with relying on two freshman guards to probably be playing big minutes for you this year in the backcourt?
You know, and it's interesting because it's all about minutes, right? Everybody says, oh, I want to come in, I want to start, and I want to come in, I want to impact the program earlier, and I want to be this, and I want to be that. I don't recruit those kids. Like, Bryce never said, and Trey never said during the course of our recruitment, what their level of playing time will be. Like, we're not going to – how can I tell you that, in all honesty? Like, I have returners that are really good. And if we're true to who we are and we're developing kids, Amari's going to be better. Chris Clyburn's going to be better. You know, Jay's going to be better. So how could I sell or even have a fan project that they're going to play a lot because they were good in high school? Well, guess what? High school and college, I would say they're a little bit different. So who knows how much those kids are going to play. But I project that they will be guys that can help us impact winning. At what level? I have no idea. But they are two great. Again, there's a theme running here with the guys I'm bringing in. Great, not good, great human beings. All-in teammates, run through a wall for me already, even early in our relationships. I get a call from these guys every once in a while, and they'll call in, and I go, hey, what's going on, man? And we'll talk for a couple minutes. I say, what you need? Nothing, coach. I was just checking in. Like, guys don't do that, man. I mean, players don't call and check in on the head coach. My guys do, you know. There's genuine love and chemistry on this team. And so that part is more exciting to coach because, you know, when you have that, now you can push the heck out of them, right? I mean, you can really be demanding when you're not being distracted with the nonsense of, you know, the gray noise that's typically in these kids' heads.
Two guys we did see last year, Tervell Beck, Amori Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your consideration of them, but a lot of people think those two guys are sort of the main starting of the core for what you're building here. Year two is sophomores. How good are they going to be?
Well, I think both of them have improved drastically, and both of them had their challenges and learned a lot. Mari and I were sitting and watching film and talking a couple days ago on a Friday, and, you know, he just talks with a different swagger now. He talks with a different level of confidence, of understanding. You know, in practice this morning, we had an opportunity where Bryce drove the baseline, kicked it to Mari, kind of had an open shot, but it might have ended up being a little bit challenged because they're flying out to him, and he makes the extra pass to Jonathan, who's wide open at 6'8", and knocks down a three. So don't go all in that he's a three-point shooter now. I'm just saying that he makes the right decision, where I don't know that he doesn't pump fake that and take it on the bounce last year. And so the growth is imminent, and it's appearing to be almost immediate. I'm looking at guys like Amari and Nunu and going, man, like, this is our core. I'm feeling pretty good.
One of the more criticized things from this offseason is the schedule, non-conference schedule, that you guys have for this year. What were you trying to achieve? What was your objective with this year's non-conference schedule?
Well, first off, people who criticize schedules know nothing about schedule. Okay, so let's consider the sources. I mean, honestly, people don't understand.
Hey, I've criticized your schedule.
Well, then shoot fist, bro. I mean, let's call it what it is. You know, you have no idea of the budgets. You have no idea what was already on the schedule. How many games were on our schedule in our non-conference that were on our schedule before I took the job? How many?
This year's or the one?
This year, right now.
This year. I don't know, I'd guess at least three or four.
You'd be guessing. What? Stop. Yeah. What'd you say?
Guess.
Right, exactly. To my point. So you don't know.
But how many were there?
Well, there was three.
Okay.
And I didn't schedule those games. Those games were part of 2-1s and 3-1s and different packages. So, again, I don't worry about what you think. I love you. You're a great guy. You work hard. You're passionate. You love your craft, you know. That's why you're good, because you're passionate. But you're armed with the information you're armed with. And so you should critique it and challenge it and break it down and say you like it or you don't like it. That's your job, right? So, but you don't know, right? I'm an expert at what I do. You know, I'd like to think that you're an expert in what you do. So, or one in training because you're a young guy, but you're going to be fantastic in your profession. I'm already really good, bro. Like, you don't understand. I'm 56 and doing pretty good. You know, I mean, if you want to break down numbers of where I've been and where I fit in statistically, and that'd be a good challenge for you. There you go. I'm going to give you your first homework assignment. You go back and look at me and look at what I've done, and then you'll be able to say, well, maybe the guy knows what he's doing and building a program. So, to get back to the non-conference schedules, obviously Cincinnati, BYU, at Illinois, the Diamond Head Classic, which now we're bracketed to play, if we win, to play Colorado and TCU in those the second and the third round of that tournament, if we're fortunate enough to get to the final. I don't see why that is a bad schedule. Like, those to me, you're not going to play everyone that's a top 100.
Nope, you want the top 25. That's your whole schedule.
You know, that's what people want, right? And that's why people are so critical, because they just, you know, well, we're not there as a program to go in and play all those guys on a regular basis. Now give me five more years of my contract, shoot, I'll play wherever you want. but in all honesty, you got to build this thing the right way. And so you need to look at who you have on your team. You need to look at, you know, existing games on the schedule as you go forward. I really love Desiree's interaction and collaboration from a scheduling standpoint. Between her and Marcus Bowman, I feel much more like we're all involved with the process, and we're all breaking down RPI numbers and projected RPI finishes. And when you look into the rosters of these other schools, you know, you could look into where they were the last 3 years and where they projected RPI. Well, what if they just lost eight seniors? I mean, you have to go all in and looking into the finer details of how you schedule these games. Because at the end of the day, why would I schedule something that I think would not be beneficial for us? There's no sense in that, right? So, again, it comes back to trusting the man that's doing the job. And if you don't, then they shouldn't have put me in the seat. I think that I'm here for a reason, and I think that winning is one of those reasons. But I think there's other components to running a successful program, which aren't always as highlighted as much as they should be, but it doesn't matter because we don't do it for that reason. We do it for the fans. We do it for the love of the game.
You need to schedule for me and me alone, just to please me.
I got
me,
you covered, bro. I'll tell you what, going forward, I will send you the contracts ahead of time.
I'll
get
them.
Your opinion on the schedule.
He's Marvin Menzies, head coach of UNLV. Marvin, we really appreciate you coming in studio today. It's been great.
My pleasure, man. Congrats to you again, and good luck on your journey.
Thank you. Technically correct. I'm Tyler Bischoff.